We open the Holy Scriptures to Isaiah chapter 42. And our reading will be the first 12 verses of the chapter. And the text we consider is verse 3. Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 12. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles, and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. Here we end our reading of the Holy Scriptures. Once more, I call your attention to verse 3. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Of all of the major prophets, perhaps we would say Isaiah is the most familiar to us. Many, many beautiful, comforting passages are found in the book of Isaiah, even though the prophet Isaiah was given a word of judgment to bring upon Israel, yet the last portion of that book is filled with comfort. Chapters 40 through the end, through chapter 66, are sometimes called the Book of Comfort because of the beginning words of that last section. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. We recognize those opening words of Isaiah 40. Following those words in Isaiah 40 come chapters 41 and 42. Chapter 41 proclaims the power of God in contrast to the powerlessness of the idols that Israel was so often allured to serve. And then comes chapter 42. And the beginning of chapter 42 sets before God's people the one who will bring comfort, the one whose work is the source of comfort, the servant of the Lord. Verse 1 identifies him, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. We know who that is, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior sent to save his people from their sins and to give them everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. The opening verses of Isaiah 42 are marvelous. They describe Jesus. They describe who he is, his person, his glory, his divine power. They describe his work and the effects that his work will have, establishing judgment. And that word judgment doesn't just refer to a judgment brought upon sin and wickedness, but really refers to all of God's will, especially his will concerning his people, salvation. He will bring salvation. And then we have in verse 3 what might at first glance seem like a curious text, using the figure of a bruised reed and a smoking flax. The bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. And in this verse, in our text, we have a beautiful revelation of our Savior's heart. Particularly, we have a revelation of his way with sinners. That is, his manner of dealing with sinners. Certain sinners, understand, throughout the sermon, going to talk about Christ's way with sinners. Whenever that expression is used, let it be understood that the sinners being spoken about are not all sinners, head for head, but God's elect. His chosen people, certain sinners are in view here. The text is about Christ's way of dealing with his people who are weak sinners. The text sets before us the wonder of salvation, but it also sets before us the wonder of how Christ views us, how he deals with us. He's a mighty Savior. But he's also a tender and compassionate Savior. Compassionate upon us in our weakness, our frailty, and our sinfulness. And that's what we want to see tonight. We want to see something of the heart of Jesus Christ toward you, toward us, towards me. And this will help us prepare to come to the Lord's Supper. Who is it that calls us to this table? Christ, who is God in the flesh, who is one in essence with the Holy One. He is the Holy One. He is Jehovah in the flesh. How can we weak, poor sinners come to this table? Not of ourselves. That's been pointed out to us. We must see our sins and miseries. But on the foundation, upon the basis of what he has done and what he has done for us, his saving work is pictured in the elements of that sacrament. But helpful also is this, to see the character, to see the heart of the one who calls us to the table. Almighty God, yet also our merciful high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, whose way with sinners is a tender, gentle way. Let us see that tonight. And let that comfort us as a people who are so often burdened by our sin, bruised, bent, and battered by the afflictions of this life. Let us see how Christ sees us. Christ's way with weak sinners. We consider first our great weakness. Secondly, his tender way. Finally, our strong comfort. The text portrays God's people in our great weakness and sinfulness using two interesting figures. And so to understand the text, we have to know what these figures signify. A bruised reed shall he not break. There's the first. And the smoking flax shall he not quench. A reed and flax. It's easy to understand what the second one is. Flax simply refers to the wick of an oil lamp or the wick of a candle. A reed was a kind of water plant that commonly grew along the banks of rivers and in the wetlands in Palestine and Syria and in the land of Egypt as well. And these reeds, these water plants, were very tall. They could grow upwards of 10 feet. And these reeds had a rigid stalk or stem, which made them useful. They were useful for building staffs, making staves, or writing materials, or other such items. We read in Exodus 2, verse 3, for example, how Jochebed, Moses' mother, created that little ark for Moses by weaving together bulrushes, reeds that grew along the banks of the Nile. And then she took Moses in that ark and hid him among the flags. And the flags refer to those reeds that grew beside the water. Though these reeds had a firm and sturdy stem to them, they were also fragile in a sense. They could easily be blown about in the wind. Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 7, concerning John the Baptist, "What went he out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind?" And a reed shaken in the wind is a picture of someone who's unstable, who's blown to and fro. So those are the two things set before us here, a reed and a flax. But not just a reed and flax, but a bruised reed and a smoking flax. The word bruised here means literally crushed, battered, or oppressed. The picture to have in our minds is that stem of the reed, which has taken several heavy hammer blows, so that its fibers have been pulverized, broken, and splintered. The reed is still standing there on the riverbank, but it doesn't have the strength to stand up straight anymore. It's bent over, perhaps all the way bent over. It hasn't been split in half yet, but it's battered, broken, and bruised. Bruised reed. And a smoking flax. It's that time of year when many of us start bringing out the candles. Perhaps in the evening we light that candle. It burns and fills the room with a nice odor, but then the time to retire for the night comes, and what do? We blow out the candle. Sometimes you don't blow hard enough, and though the flame sputters and goes out, yet there is that pinprick of glowing orange on the very tip of the wick that just smokes for a while. And that's the idea, a smoking flax, a wick that has been almost completely put out, and there's just a little bit of fire left there, that little orange dot on the tip of the wick. So the picture to have in our mind is a reed that's been battered and broken, a candle that's barely lit because it's been nearly extinguished. What is this broken reed or this bruised reed? What is this smoking flax? God's people. That's us in the text. Originally, the prophet Isaiah was describing Israel, specifically Judah, the people to whom Isaiah was sent to prophesy. In his day, Judah, we know, had become fearfully spiritually weak, fallen deeply into sin. You get a sense of that, for example, if you look at the very first chapter of Isaiah, verses 5 and 6, where Jehovah himself describes the spiritual condition of his Old Testament people. "Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more." Then describing Judah, "The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." That's describing the spiritual condition of Judah in that time. God's people were like a bruised reed, bruised in their sinfulness, battered by afflictions. Afflictions that came from the rule of bad kings as well as enemies that were encroaching from without. Judah was, in many respects, like a dying lamp, its flame sputtering in the darkness, That was her spiritual life growing dimmer and duller. And the elect remnant, many of whom were caught up in this spiritual decline, were guilty too. Poor, disheartened sinners. That was God's church. That's how the text describes God's people. That's us too, then. Not in exactly the same way as God's Old Testament people, but nonetheless, this text describes you and me. It describes us as we live in this world. It describes our spiritual condition. It describes us, especially from two points of view. In the first place, it describes us from the point of view of our weakness and sinfulness. We are poor sinners. We are bruised reeds. In our very nature, we are bruised. Our nature, which we inherited from Father Adam, is deformed. It's corrupt. It's shot through with sinfulness. And even after regeneration by the Spirit of Christ, we have the new life of Christ in us, yes, but we are still so weak. We have that sinful flesh, that depravity that cleaves to us. We are like a bruised reed, and in our sinfulness we so easily splinter and break, succumb to sin and unbelief. We have wounds that grow, that go very, very deep, spiritual wounds. We are poor sinners. And as poor sinners, our spiritual life is so often weak and faint, like that smoking flax. There's a light there. There's that orange on the tip of the wick that's smoking. But sometimes it seems like our spiritual life wanes so very small. We're poor, weak sinners. The life, the light, the faith that God gives us is at times very dim. Think about how Jesus compassionately addressed his disciples so often, "O ye of little faith." As poor and weak sinners, we are unworthy sinners. Think of a bruised reed that's bent over. It's not good for anything. You can't make a staff. You can't make a measuring stick out of it. It's bruised to the point of being beyond any useful function. Smoking flax doesn't give any light anymore. It's become useless. All it does is emit a noxious odor, a smoke. And that's a picture of us and our sins as well, unworthy before God. We are bruised reeds, smoking flax. The picture the text draws for us is who we are by nature. And not only that, what we are so often like in the midst of this world because we are weak, poor sinners. But now, the second point of view, the text also pictures us from the point of view of the burdens and the afflictions that we carry in this life. Psalm 34 says, and it's a very familiar verse, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." We are bruised reeds, and there are some seasons in our lives when we especially feel like bruised reeds because we've been taking hammer blows of affliction. It feels as though the very fibers of our being have been crushed, and that we no longer have any strength to keep the head lifted up, but are bent over. This life is a spiritual battlefield. Blows come from all sides. We are living on a storm-tossed sea, and the winds toss us and tear at us. We can feel drained and spent. Our spiritual life, sometimes like that wick that's barely alight, smoking flax. These figures are meant to be applied personally. This is me. This is you in our weakness. Can you identify with the descriptions in the text? I dare say all of us can if we honestly look at ourselves and survey our lives and think about our experiences. We can identify, yes, this is me. Whether you're feeling it now, some of you are. Feel like a bruised reed, smoking flax. Maybe you've been feeling that way for a long time. Or you can remember a time in the past bruised, battered. Perhaps bruised and battered in your battle against sin. You feel like you've been wrestling with a wild beast that's left you mauled on the side of the road. Are you burdened by your sins? Crushed by the consciousness of guilt? That happens sometimes in our lives. We fall into sin. We walk in sin, and that guilt accumulates on our spiritual shoulders until we can barely lift our heads. You're discouraged because life isn't going the way you planned or thought or wanted. Things you had put trust in have failed you. You feel like a smoking flax in the dark. There's barely anything left. Just a dot. Barely glowing dot that gives off some smoke. Like an oil lamp. The oil is almost gone. Strained by the stresses of your life, work, afflictions, trouble in family, trouble in church. You fill in the blank. Afflictions that can batter us, make us feel as though we're about to be put out, snuffed out. We're weak, poor, weak sinners. And these figures of the text are meant to help us see ourselves as we truly are. To show us our weakness, our great weakness. We're bruised reeds. The funny thing about us is we often try to deny that we're bruised reeds. Try to pick ourselves up and do it of our own strength, overcome, harden ourselves. The reality is a bruised reed is so damaged and bent over it can't make itself stand back up. That bruised reed with its broken stem, without the help and healing hand of a gardener, will eventually die. Smoking flax left to itself will soon go out. A smoking flax isn't going to rekindle itself. That's us as sinners. We're helpless. We can do nothing to give ourselves spiritual life, nothing to better our spiritual condition. We, as sinners, are bruised reeds and smoking flax. That's us, even as regenerated sinners. It's not that we're regenerated, given the new life of Christ, and now we have the power to do it ourselves. No, we're still so weak. We feel that. This is us in our afflictions. When they pile up, when the hammer blows hit us from all sides, when we're like that smoking wick. What am I? What am I? Powerless before all this. Weak. These figures show us our weakness. Our weakness in our sinfulness and our weakness in our creatureliness. And thus show us our need for the God-provided Savior. And that's always the direction that our eyes need to go. The direction our eyes need to go tonight as we prepare to come to the Lord's Supper. We need to see ourselves, see our weakness, but not keep our eyes there such that we plunge into despair, but lift our eyes to the one God provides, the mighty Savior. We are weak and we sense it. We know our sins and miseries, but now look up. Look to Him who is our light and strength, our Savior. We're shown our need for our Savior, our weaknesses, our sinfulness, our brokenness shows us our need for the strong Savior, the healing Savior, the light-giving Savior, whom the text reveals. He, a bruised reed, shall He not break? And the smoking flax shall He not quench? Who is the He? Well, the He is the servant, mentioned in verse 1, the servant whom God upholds, who is God's elect, in whom God's soul delights, upon whom God has put His Spirit. And we who know the New Testament see the Lord Jesus Christ here. We see the mediator of the covenant ordained from before the foundation of the world to be the second Adam, to come and save His people from their sins. We see the Word made flesh, clothed in the weakness of our humanity, and in His flesh upheld by His Father as He went about His saving work. We see the dove descending upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God poured out upon Him to strengthen and equip Him for His work as our Savior. We hear the very words of Isaiah here when they echoed from heaven at the Jordan River, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus Christ is set before us here. Jesus Christ, who is the servant of Jehovah, who made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, sent from heaven to save poor, weak sinners such as you and me. And that's His work. That's what the last part of the verse is when it speaks about how He shall bring forth judgment. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall faithfully establish God's judgment, God's will for the salvation of His people. But now, what the text focuses our attention on is the way this servant carries himself towards the bruised reed and the smoking flax. His manner of dealing with this useless, broken reed and this nearly extinguished candle. What does the servant of Jehovah do with such things? How does he act towards them? What is his view of them? And the text says, very simply, but profoundly and powerfully, "A bruised reed shall he not break. A smoking flax shall he not quench." And the central idea of that is this: Christ the Savior has a wonderful way with sinners. He comes to us in our weakness, in our brokenness, and He's not cruel, He's not harsh, He's not a Savior who despises us in our weakness. But He is compassionate, He is kind, He has a tender way of dealing with weak, broken people such as we are. He's that merciful high priest, touched with the feeling of our infirmities, touched with the feeling of our bruises and our faintness. He shall not break. He shall not quench. We need to see how amazing and comforting that is. Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the Holy One, God incarnate, to whom belongs all power and glory forever, who is so holy He cannot look upon iniquity, and yet He comes down and takes on the form of the servant of Jehovah to seek and to save weak, poor sinners like us. And now He comes to us and He looks upon us. He looks upon bruised reeds. The Almighty God looks upon broken, bruised, weak reeds. The light of the world, the all-glorious, the all-beautiful One, looks upon us, smoking wicks. And He doesn't scorn. He doesn't look at us with contempt. He doesn't despise our weakness. Even though all of our weaknesses can be traced back to our fall, to the sin of Father Adam, and our own sinfulness, and our own wretched sinful flesh, yet He does not despise. And He doesn't take that bruised reed, deal with it harshly and roughly. He's not a Savior who says, "Enough. I'm at my wit's end with this people. Look at you. Look at how fallen you are. Look at how bruised and broken you are. Look at how foolish you are. You've fallen into that sin again? You stumbled into that error? I've had enough. Be gone, stumbling, pathetic, broken people. Get out of my sight. Is that the servant? No. The servant comes. He does not break. He does not break the bruised reed, nor does he quench the smoking flax. He doesn't see that bruised, useless reed and say, "What a worthless piece of junk," and smash it to pieces. He doesn't look at that smoking wick and say, "What use is that? There's no hope for that. Blow it the rest of the way out." He doesn't come to you in your sin and say, "I've had it with you. I'm done." He doesn't come to you in all of your weaknesses and afflictions, broken, perhaps no longer thinking straight, and say, "Just shape up." He's a compassionate Savior who tenderly deals with weak, poor sinners, tenderly deals with that bruised reed, tenderly cares, stokes the flame of that smoking flax. He doesn't break the reed. He doesn't extinguish the flax. He doesn't do that. And the double negative of the text serves to emphasize the positive of what he does do. That's a Hebrew convention. Often in the Hebrew tongue, there will be things stated in the negative like this in order to emphasize the positive. It's not merely that Christ is a Savior who doesn't break the bruised reed, who doesn't despise us in our weakness, or quench the smoking flax, but he is a Savior who comes to build and to heal that bruised reed, to kindle and to fan the flame of that smoking flax so that it again burns brightly. He is tender in that he does not despise us in our weakness. And he is tender also in the care that he gives, patient, long-suffering care to weak sinners. He knows our frame. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And the infinitude of his divine being is displayed in the infinity of his patience and his care and his long suffering towards us. That's our God. That's our Savior. That's his way with sinners. So, are you bruised? Bruised by your sins? Struggling in the battle against them, burdened with guilt, that sin, you did it again, again. It might creep into your mind, God can't put up with this much longer. Eventually, he must get so frustrated with this bruised reed that he's going to smash it. No, no. Battered, bent over, broken sinner, this is your Savior. He will not break the bruised reed, but he comes with his grace to tenderly heal. He forgives your sins. He shed his blood to cover them. And by his Spirit, he will work in you powerfully. Turn you from sin, to heal the wounds of sin. You're growing faint, weak in your spiritual life, your faith dim, sputtering flame, ripped to and fro by the winds of affliction. Eventually, it's out. You're just hanging on. That little glowing orange tip of the wick. Christ comes. And his hands go around that candle. He shields you from those winds. He gently, tenderly stokes the flame. That's the Savior. that one who quenches the smoking flax, but who protects and shelters the smoking flax so that he in his good timing and in his good way might bring that smoking flax to be a burning wick once more that gives light and warmth. Apply that personally. You a bruised reed right now, smoking flax right now. This is your Savior. This is His way with you. Perhaps you don't feel that right now. Perhaps you object, I don't feel those hands of the Savior. They're there. And our sovereign Savior, so powerful, so great, and so wise, that He can take the hammer blows that bruise you and use even the winds that feel as though they're going to put out your fragile little flame and use those even for your good. He reigns. He rules. You're His. Nothing can separate you from Him. And this is always His way with you. Your battle against sin, your struggle with affliction, the hardest parts of life, in the deepest pits, this is always the way of Christ with weak, poor sinners, His weak, poor sinners, whom He loves with an everlasting love. His way is tender and compassionate. And that must be a refuge for us. To see this part of the heart of our Savior and to know His compassion. Even when we don't understand His ways, this we can understand. His compassion, His tenderness, His care. He will not, He will never break the bruised reed, but will build, will heal, will strengthen. He will not, He will never quench the smoking flax such that it is extinguished. He strengthens. He heals. He quickens. He rekindles. He pours the oil and the wine of His grace upon our wounds and applies the balm of His blood to our sins. This is Jesus Christ, your Savior. This is His way with sinners. This is the Christ who calls us to come to His table. Poor, weak that you are, weary, battered that you may be, come. Don't fear Him. Don't hold back. Don't be bitter against Him. Come to your Savior by faith. Come as you hear His word. This is God's word. This is God's revelation of His own heart to you, His care to you. Hear His word, believe, trust Him, cast yourself upon Him and your cares, and come to His table, poor, weak sinners that you and I are. Find refuge in His tender care. We will see then that we have a very strong comfort, a very strong comfort indeed. And that comfort rests upon what our tender Savior has done. He's brought complete deliverance, complete salvation. That's the end of the text. He brings judgment. He brings salvation. And He has done so at the highest personal cost, at the cost of Himself. And there you see the proof positive. Christ is a compassionate and powerful Savior. Look at what He did to bring that salvation and deliverance to you. Servant of Jehovah, He was bruised. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. He poured out His life unto death and entered into the deepest darkness where it seemed He would be extinguished in the blackness, that He might not break but heal the bruised reed, and not quench but quicken the smoking flax. He did what the Lord's Supper is going to picture for us, giving Himself as the atoning sacrifice for our sins, to cover them with His blood, to satisfy the justice of God, to take our guilt away. Every one of those bruises upon His blessed body and upon His holy soul, bruises that healed ours. In the darkness, as the cup of God's wrath was poured out upon Him in our place, grace, richest grace, abundant grace, was obtained to pour out upon and into us, so that our cup may run over and run over eternally. This is our strong, strong comfort. Our strong comfort is found just looking at our Savior, to whom we belong. His tender way with sinners, but now especially His mighty work for us sinners. His work on the cross that took away our sins. This is the Savior that calls, comfort ye my people. Come and see what I have done for you. Come, taste and see. Come, my bruised reeds, so that I may tend to you and heal you. Come, my smoking wicks, that I may light you with my light, kindle true faith, warm you with my grace. Come, come as you are, beloved, in your weakness. Come as poor sinners who need a physician. Christ calls you to come. He prepares this table for poor, weak sinners such as we are. He's clothed us. He's clothed us with that wedding robe of His righteousness. He's covered us with His shed blood. Calls us, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. It's a very, very beautiful part of the form. The preparatory section of the form, it's so familiar, sometimes these words maybe just bounce off of us. We do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding, we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, or broken reeds, smoking flax, as namely that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses, earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured, knowing our Savior and His tender way with sinners, we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. let us prepare ourselves in faith. And let us come eagerly to our Savior to taste and to see His goodness. Amen. Our faithful God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this word. It is as a balm, because we are bruised reeds. We bear, not only in our bodies, but also in our souls, the wounds of sin, the wounds of the hurts of this world. We are bent over sometimes under the troubles and affliction of this life. We grow weary, we grow faint, we feel spent at times, like a smoking flax. Yet Thou dost come to us in this word and show us Thy heart. Thou knowest our frame. Thou knowest. Thou art compassionate in Jesus Christ. Thou dost not break the bruised reed or quench the smoking flax, but in grace, in mercy, truly unfathomable, Thou dost tend. Thou dost heal. Thou dost bless. Thou dost apply all of the riches of Thy grace to mend the bruised and to reignite what is nearly extinguished. Comfort our hearts with strong comfort, comfort in this wonderful truth. May we see our Savior, see how He sees us, and flee to Him, find our refuge in Him. Grant us this, Father, that we may go forth from this house of prayer into the week ahead to examine and prepare ourselves to come to the table. May we truly rest in Christ and His finished work for us, and sing for the joy of our salvation. We ask all these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.